What I'd like to do in the few moments remaining is call our attention to a passage in the Word of God which I believe helps to illustrate what we're about with this. If you would turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6. I'm going to read beginning at verse 8 down through verse 23 and then just a few comments on particular points about this. 2 Kings chapter 8, excuse me, chapter 6 beginning at verse 8. But before I go to that, let me preface it with a few things, and that is, as you've seen, one of the main characteristics of Teaching the Word Ministries is that we're a media ministry. We're not a direct face-to-face ministry. We're not primarily, at least. We use the internet, print publications, electronic publications, audio recordings, video, radio, all sorts of media. I preach from many pulpits. I have that great privilege, and I'm thankful for that. But the vast majority of what we do is by less direct means. And so to us, our reading and listening audience is, for the most part, nameless and faceless. We do know the names of some of the people who visit our website, receive our teaching emails 6 days a week, listen to our radio broadcast, and that's because some of them request physical media resources from us. And so we'll have a name and address. We'll send those resources all over the world, and in some cases, people who contact us will, they'll share some information about themselves and about their situation, but it's a very small window into their world. And when we do know where a particular person's located, it gives us a little bit of a window into that person's circumstances. We might hear from someone who is in the middle of a crowded city in India, and we get some really crazy mailing addresses from India, and somehow the mail manages to get there. The address might be to so-and-so at the lamppost two doors down from the barber shop that is next to... And we have to fit all that on a mailing label. But it gets there. It gets there. We get the word back from people. Thank you. It has come. We might next hear from somebody who's, as we did recently, a seminary student in Ghana. Another one from one of the Caribbean islands who hears the broadcasts from Harbor Light. Someone else might be from the United States, from a rural area of Texas or Nebraska, or as we heard last year from a lady in Queens, New York, who was about to take her life, and someone sent her one of our Bible reading kits. And she doesn't even know who, but it came in the mail, and she began reading, and she came to faith in Christ. And we had the opportunity to talk a couple of times on the phone after that. And to hear the rejoicing was such a soul-warming thing to hear the rejoicing of this person. And she also managed to find a Bible-believing church, a gospel-preaching church. And so she's being built up in the faith. But 99.9% of the time, that's all we know. We don't know much, but we do know this. We do know that all these people, even if they're not Christians, they're in the grip of some powerful forces, especially if they're not Christians. Forces that prevent the natural man from believing on Christ. Our nameless, faceless audience is no doubt populated with many spiritually darkened minds, filled with a lot of people who are in the grip of pagan philosophies. And that's not just overseas, that's here too. People who embrace all sorts of wrong opinions about life and about death and about God and about eternity. And people who are by nature the enemies of God, as we once were, let us never forget. They're nameless, faceless people to us, but they're not nameless or faceless to the Lord Jesus Christ or to God the Holy Spirit. He knows everything about them because He created them. The surest way for us in this ministry to fall into deep despair is to gauge everything by visible results. Because we don't see them. Not this side of glory. But the surest way for us to keep on keeping on, the surest way for us to stay focused on this work no matter what we may see or not see, is to recognize one thing above all, and that is that the ability for a man or a woman or a boy or girl to believe the gospel rests not in our power. A man or a woman who or a child who by the grace of God believes on the Lord Jesus Christ through the instrumentality of this ministry or any ministry, believes on the account of the power that God the Holy Spirit exercised in order that a soul might believe. It's God who opens spiritually blind eyes. And with that in mind, I'd like for us to look at this passage in 2 Kings briefly. 2 Kings chapter 6, beginning at verse 8. We're reading about the prophet Elisha. And we read that the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, "In such and such a place shall be my camp." And the man of God, this is the prophet Elisha, sent unto the king of Israel, saying, "Beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are coming down," or come down. And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved himself there not once nor twice. In other words, several times. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing, and he called his servants and said unto them, "Will ye not show me which one of us is for the king of Israel?" And one of the servants said, "None, my lord, we're not spies. We're not turncoats. None, my lord, the king. But Elisha, the prophet that is in Israel, telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber." And he said, the king said, "Go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him." Sounds a lot like Herod saying, "Where can I go to worship the Christ child?" There was certainly an evil motive here. And it was told the king, saying, "Behold, he is in Dothan." Therefore he sent thither horses and chariots and a great host, an army. They came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city with both horses and chariots. And his servant, Elisha's servant, said unto him, "Alas, my master, how shall we do?" And he answered, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire around Elisha. And when they came down to him, Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, "Smite this people, this army, I pray thee, with blindness." And he, God, smote them with blindness, according to the word of Elisha. And Elisha said to them, "This is not the way, neither is this the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom you seek." But he led them to Samaria. And it came to pass, when they were come into Samaria, that Elisha said, "Lord, open the eyes of these men, that they may see." And the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw, and behold, they were in the midst of Samaria. Those who intended to become captors were now captives. And the king of Israel said to Elisha, when he saw them, "My father, shall I smite them? Shall I smite them?" And Elisha answered, thou shalt not smite them. Wouldst thou smite those whom thou hast taken captive with thy sword and with thy bow? Set bread and water before them that they may eat and drink and go to their master. And he prepared great provision for them, and when they had eaten and drunk, he sent them away, and they went to their master. So the bands of Assyria came no more into the land of Israel. What we have here is the demonstration of the power of God to bring blindness and to bring sight, both physical and spiritual. The young man who was Elisha's servant, this young man in the prime of life, I'm sure he could see physically just fine. But he could not see spiritually. He could see the physical human army that was arrayed against the city and was arrayed against the prophet Elisha. But he could not see the more vital spiritual confrontation that was taking place. And so God answered Elisha's prayer and permitted this young man to see spiritually. Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray to thee, open his eyes that he may see. And what did he see? He saw the mountain full of horses and chariots of fire around Elisha. God had the situation completely under control. This was not going to be a rout by the enemies of God. Except in very rare cases, God doesn't give us eyes to see the unseen spiritual war that's going on around us. He doesn't give us eyes to see the horses and the chariots of fire. But they're there. They're there. They surround the soldiers of Christ. If we understand Ephesians chapter 6, and I am sure this congregation understands it well, having sat under the teaching of an excellent series on that passage, the panoply of God. If we understand that, we understand that the really important war is not warfare against flesh and blood. The really important war is not tanks and armies in Ukraine or anywhere else. The really important war is the spiritual warfare. We understand that the really important war is not a warfare against flesh and blood, but against unseen armies, against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You know, I may only be speaking for myself in this. You may or may not agree, but I think if I were given the opportunity to see the horses and the chariots of fire around us, I think it would be way too much for me. I don't think that I could bear that. I really don't. I think I would be like the psalmist in Psalm 139. This is too wonderful for me. This knowledge is too wonderful. It's high. I cannot attain to it. But I do thank the Lord that seen or unseen, such a warfare is going on, that He tells us it's going on. We can count on the fact that it is going on, that we have our place to stand in it, but that our place standing in the warfare is not alone. Not alone, not even in the sense of standing in the warfare with other believers, but standing with the unseen armies of God that are fighting for us at the command of the captain of our salvation. And then a few verses onward in 2 Kings chapter 6, we find the prophet Elisha praying again. He's not praying for his young servant to be given spiritual sight. He's praying for God to blind an entire army, and God does it. And then he removes that blindness at the beseeching of the prophet. And this blindness was also according to the sovereign purposes of God. In this case, God was saving Israel from military defeat. He was giving Israel yet another opportunity to repent. You know, one thing that we very much try to keep in mind in our ministry is that it is God who sovereignly is in charge of blindness and sight. that God permits Satan to blind all who are under the sway of the evil one. We're born into this world in blindness. We're born into this world under the sway of the evil one. But God in His sovereign wisdom opens the eyes of those who are spiritually blind, who have been chosen in Christ from before the foundation of the world, for the opening of their eyes for the regenerating work of the Spirit, in order that they might believe. And that's our confidence in this ministry. That is what encourages us to carry on. And it may it be the confidence of every one of us as believers. And so what does God call us to do in light of these great facts? I'd like to mention just three things in particular in relation to what we've been considering this evening. And they apply whether we're dealing with people we know face to face or whether we're dealing with people that God brings in contact with this church, this ministry directly, this school, or whether it's our family, whether it's people we know or don't know, nameless or faceless, as well as known to us. I think it was Donald Rumsfeld, when he was Secretary of Defense for the second time during the Gulf War, he talked about the fact that in military strategy, there are known unknowns and there are unknown unknowns. And it's the same way for us. We have a lot of known unknowns in our lives. We don't even necessarily know exactly what's going on in the mind of the person across the breakfast table from us. And yet there are so many others with whom we never come in contact, the unknown unknowns, if you will, who God knows intimately, and God uses even us as His messengers, His ministers, to bring the gospel to them. So first of all, what does God do? What does God call us to do? He calls us to stand firm in the warfare, knowing that as Elisha told his servant, they that be with us are more than they that be with them. We're in a warfare for the souls of men and a warfare for the well-being of the church. And second, God calls us to preach the word. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Preach the word, be instant, in season and out of season. More literally, be always ready to preach the word when people are ready to hear it and when they're not. We do not know the willingness or unwillingness of our unseen audience. But God the Holy Spirit does. And God the Holy Spirit is the one who can change the will, who can unbind the will that is bound in Satan's grip. And so we're called on to reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. And thirdly, God calls us to fervent prayer for the opening of blinded eyes. I think of the Apostle Paul before King Agrippa in Acts chapter 26. He told Agrippa that Paul, as he was prostrate on the ground on that road to Damascus, the Lord Jesus spoke to him and the Lord said this. He said, "Rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom I now send thee." Why? To open their eyes. I send thee to open their eyes. I'm the one who's going to do it. You are my messenger, my minister, my servant, to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. And then Paul says, "Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision." Dear friends, may we not be disobedient to that same heavenly vision in our day. Pray that God will open blinded eyes. pray that He may use us as instruments in the opening of blinded eyes through the power of His Word and through the work of the Holy Spirit. We don't have any idea what the Lord has done or will do or is doing through us. We won't have any idea of that in the vast majority of cases, I'm convinced, until we get to glory. And I think it's going to take a lot of eternity just for us to begin to realize the length and breadth and height and depth of all that God did to bring sons to glory, to save the souls of His people. And it's on that basis that we've gone on in our work teaching the Word for the last, now, nearly 24 years. It's the basis of the work of Reformation Bible Church now for 70 years, and the school, Harford Christian School, for over 50 years. It's the Lord's work. It's the Spirit's work. We're only servants. And I'm grateful to be a fellow servant with you. I'm grateful for our fellowship in these labors. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, what a privilege You have given us. First of all, to be called the sons of God. But also to give us the privilege of being Your witnesses in this world. You didn't need us. You didn't need to do it this way. You could have, in Your wisdom, chosen an entirely different means for the redemption of a people for the world to come, Father. But You chose to use us. Lord, how often we fail. How often our eyes become dim and blind to the spiritual realities around us, and dim and blind to Your power to open blinded eyes. Forgive us for those failings. Encourage us, Father, in the work of the ministry, each of us in our lives, whether it's in our homes, whether it's in the workplace, in school, in the neighborhood, wherever it may be, in this church, in the school. Lord, use us for Your glory. And now to Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus, throughout all ages, world without end. Amen.